Chapter 8, Prophecies Concerning Tyre and Sidon. The ancient sites of Tyre and Sidon were on the seacoast of Canaan, just beyond the northern borders of the tribes of Israel, although Jacob had prophesied that the border of Zebulun should be unto Sidon. This may have meant that it would extend to the strip of land occupied by the Sidonians along the seacoast of northern Canaan. It would appear that Sidon was the older of the two cities, as Tyre is spoken of by Isaiah as the daughter of Sidon, and to have been replenished by her. In any case, Sidon was a city of great antiquity, as it was in all probability where Sidon, the firstborn of Canaan, lived and was named after him. In the time of Joshua, it was called Great Sidon. By that time also, Tyre had become a place of importance, and Joshua refers to it as the strong city of Tyre. Being on the seacoast, both Tyre and Sidon became important ports for the conveyance of merchandise over the waters of the Mediterranean, and Tyre especially became the mart of the nations, the crowning city, whose merchants and princes, whose traffickers, are the honorable of the earth. The merchant ships took their cargoes thence to Chittim, Tarshish, Syria, Sheba, and other distant lands. Ezekiel also describes the maritime greatness of Tyre. Tarshish was thy merchant by reason of the multitude of all kinds of riches. With silver, iron, tin, and lead, they traded in thy fairs. Javan, Tubal, and Meshech, they were thy merchants. They traded the persons of men and vessels of brass in thy market. They of the house of Togarma traded in thy fairs with horses, horsemen, and mules. The men of Dedan were thy merchants. They brought thee for a present horns of ivory and ebony. Syria was thy merchant, by reason of the multitude of the wares of thy making. They occupied in thy fairs with emeralds, purple and broidered work, and fine linen and coral and agate. Even Judah and Israel traded in wheat, honey, oil, and balm, Damascus in wine and wool, Arabia in lambs and rams and goats, Sheba in spices, precious stones, and gold. We can imagine from these lists of merchandise what a busy port, what an important haven of ships was ancient Tyre, and how she increased in riches and greatness. When David and Solomon wanted to build the temple at Jerusalem and their own palaces, they sent to Hiram, king of Tyre, for materials and craftsmen. Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and cedar trees and carpenters and masons, and they built David an house. Hiram, the king of Tyre, had furnished Solomon with cedar trees and fir trees and with gold according to all his desire. And when the captives were returned from Babylon to Jerusalem and commenced to rebuild the temple of the Lord, they gave meat and drink and oil unto them of Sidon and then to them of Tyre, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the Sea of Joppa, according to the grant that they had of Cyrus, king of Persia. For these reasons, Tyre became proud and lifted up, and said, I am of perfect beauty, I am a god, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. The Sidonians also, for the same reasons, dwelt careless and were quiet and secure. The people both of Tyre and Sidon were idolaters, being given up to the worship of Baal and Ashtaroth. And they introduced this idolatry into Israel in the time of the judges, and also in the reign of Ahab, whose wife Jezebel was a daughter of one of the kings of Sidon. Added to these sins were the derision of the Jews and the advantage they took of the downfall and captivity of Jerusalem. For they said against Jerusalem, "Aha, she is broken that was the gates of the people. She is turned unto me. I shall be replenished now she is laid waste." They were listed amongst those nations who were confederate against Israel, and who said, "Come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance." For all these iniquities, the anger of the Lord was moved to utter solemn judgments against them by the mouth of his prophets. While Tyre and Sidon were in a most flourishing condition, Isaiah pronounces the burden of the Lord against them. "The burden of Tyre, howl, ye ships of Tarshish, for it is laid waste, so that there is no house, no entering in. Be thou ashamed, O Sidon, for the sea hath spoken, even the strength of the sea, saying, I travail not, nor bring forth children, neither do I nourish up young men, nor bring up virgins. As at the report concerning Egypt, so shall they be sorely pained at the report of Tyre. The Lord hath given a commandment against the merchant city, to destroy the strongholds thereof." And he said, "Thou shalt no more rejoice, O thou oppressed virgin, daughter of Sidon. Arise, pass over to Chittim. There also shalt thou have no rest. Behold, the land of the Chaldeans. This people was not till the Assyrian founded it for them that dwell in the wilderness. They set up the towers thereof. They raised up the palaces thereof. And he brought it to ruin." Tyrus was also numbered among those nations who were told through Jeremiah to drink the wine cup of the Lord's fury when he should send the armies of Nebuchadnezzar against them. Ezekiel again prophesies of this because of their derision of the Jews. "For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will bring upon Tyrus Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, a king of kings, from the north, with horses and with chariots, and with horsemen and companies and much people. He shall slay with the sword thy daughters in the field, and he shall make a fort against thee, and lift up the buckler against thee. He shall set his engines of war against thy walls, and with his axes he shall break down thy towers. And they shall make a spoil of thy riches, and make a prey of thy merchandise. And they shall break down thy walls, and destroy thy pleasant houses. And they shall lay thy stones, and thy timber, and thy dust in the midst of the water. And I will make thee like the top of a rock. Thou shalt be a place to spread nets upon, and thou shalt be built no more. For I, the Lord, have spoken it, saith the Lord God." In the following two chapters also, the prophet, in very graphic and poetical language, describes the glory and beauty to which Tyre attained, and the consequent depth and greatness of her ruin. Joel, Amos, and Zechariah also take up the burden of prophecy against Tyre and Sidon. It was further foretold that after 70 years had passed from the destruction inflicted by Nebuchadnezzar, Tyre would be recovered for a season, although there should apparently be an utter ruin eventually, as it is evident from some of the prophecies quoted above. Isaiah speaks of this temporary restoration, and Jeremiah includes them with the Jews in this promised return from captivity. In the case of the Jews, there was a returning to the worship of the true God, but with Tyre, it was but to return to their idols and to their riches and merchandise until they should be further destroyed. What then has been the history of these ancient cities? Have the prophecies to which we have referred been fulfilled in the course of time? First, Isaiah speaks of the Assyrian as bringing them to ruin, and the accomplishment of this is described in the records of the Assyrian monarchs themselves. Thus, Shalmaneser III records as follows concerning his 21st campaign. I crossed the Euphrates the 22nd time. I marched to the cities of Hazael of Damascus. I received tribute from Tyre, Zidon, and Bablus. Then a later Assyrian king, Adad-nirari III, says, I subjugated to myself the west country in its entire compass, namely Tyre, Zidon, the land of Omri, Israel, Edom, Philistia, as far as the great sea to the setting of the sun. Payment of tribute I imposed on them. Again, Tiglath-Pileser III mentions receiving homage from Hiram of Tyre, amongst other rulers of those lands, the great Sennacherib, and lastly, records concerning the king of Zidon. The terror of the majesty of my domain overpowered him, and he fled afar into the midst of the sea. His land I reduced to subjection. Great Zidon and little Zidon, his strong towns, the fortresses, the spots for pasture and watering, the stations where his troops were quartered, submitted themselves to me. Ethobul I placed on the royal throne over them, and the offering of tribute to my rule I imposed on him as an annual unalterable payment. But it was the Chaldean Empire under the great king Nebuchadnezzar that was to be the means of destroying the old city of Tyre. This took place in the year 573 BC. The Assyrians had subjugated it, and now, according to the prophecy of Ezekiel, Nebuchadnezzar was to come and set up his engines of war against her walls and break down her towers. For 13 years he besieged the city, which was so long and great a task for his army that every head was made bald and every shoulder was peeled. And for this service in performing the judgments of the Lord, he was given Egypt as the wages for his army. After 70 years had been accomplished, Babylon itself was taken by Cyrus, and he set free the nations which Nebuchadnezzar had taken captive. The Tyrians benefited by this release, and according to the prophecies already quoted, the city of Tyre began to flourish again. But it was a new Tyre, the old Tyre, which was situated on the mainland, had been desolated by Nebuchadnezzar. But the people built a new city on an island situated a short distance from the mainland. Here again rose a famous and flourishing center of merchandise, which continued for many years until the time came for a further fulfillment of prophecy. This was under the Grecian Empire, when Alexander the Great enlarged his conquests eastward, and Tyre was again under siege in the year 330 BC. Alexander's engines of war could not reach the new island city from the mainland, but by building a huge mound or mole between the two, he succeeded in reaching and taking the city and setting it on fire. The mound was made from the ruins of the old city of Tyre, thus fulfilling the words of the prophet, "They shall lay thy stones and thy timber and thy dust in the midst of the water." After this, the city was again rebuilt and flourished for a time, coming under Christian influence during the period of the early churches, as was also foreshadowed by Isaiah, see chapter 23, verse 18. But under the rule of the Saracens and Turks, it steadily declined into a mere fishing village. Dr. Porter, in describing a visit to the site, says, "New Tyre is now represented by a poor village. The ancient mistress of the seas can only boast of a few fishing boats. The modern houses of a better class have had their walls so shattered by earthquakes that the inhabitants have deserted them, and the modern ramparts are so ruinous that I went in and out over them in several places. But one thing especially struck me in wandering over the site of Tyre. Along the shores of the peninsula lie huge sea-beaten fragments of the old wall and piles of granite and marble columns. They are bare as the top of a rock, and here and there I saw the fishermen spreading out their nets upon them to dry in the bright sunshine. When I saw them, I sat down on one of the highest fragments and read with mingled feelings of wonder and awe the words of Ezekiel, 'I will make thee like the top of a rock, and thou shalt be a place to spread nets upon.'" Another traveler, Henry Mondrell, writes of Tyre, "When you come to it, you find no similitude of that glory for which it was so renowned in ancient times, and which the prophet Ezekiel describes. On the north side of it, it has an old Turkish ungarrisoned castle, besides which you see nothing here but a mere babble of broken walls, pillars, vaults, etc., there being not so much as one entire house left. Its present inhabitants are only a few poor wretches, harboring themselves in the vaults and subsisting chiefly upon fishing."